Workplace discrimination can take many forms. One is gender inequality. In a recent article for Conversation.com, co-author Sarah Hamilton from the University of Wollongong talked about the ongoing experience of many women in the sciences where harassment, exclusion and being subject to aggressive behaviour from male colleagues is for many women still the norm. To discuss this, Sarah joins us on the line. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
Sarah, how does the ongoing gender inequality in coastal science and engineering manifest itself in the workplace?
The study that we've published, it was kind of a two-pronged analytical approach. So the first thing we did was we looked at a number of societies and journals and conferences in our specific disciplinary field, which is coastal geosciences and engineering. So basically women working at the interface of the land and the sea on sort of environmental and physical processes. In those societies, we looked at, so within our community of researchers, there's about 30% women. So in order to have equality, we'd anticipate that within the societies and journals and conferences, there'd be about 30% representation of women, but it was much lower. So within the nine societies we looked at, on average, there was about 15% membership of women in the boards of those societies. For the 25 journals we looked at, the editorial boards were composed of about 15% women. And for the 10 conferences we looked at, the organisers, about 18% of them were women. But on the other hand, we also put online a survey. So we did a qualitative analysis where we basically asked people working in our field, do you feel that you've ever experienced any gender inequality, and can you talk about that? And so some of the reasons that sort of commonly came through, we got 314 responses, so it took quite a couple of days of wading through those answers. But some of the things that were commonly occurring reasons that people talked about were the glass ceiling, so women not getting promoted above a certain level, and certainly the data in most institutions that do coastal research does back that up. Gender stereotypes, particularly in relation to field work. So a lot of women reported that when they're out in the field, people don't ask them to carry equipment and don't think that they can necessarily operate things like boat engines. The boys' club, so the tendency for people in the disciplinary field to favour men when it comes to questions of recruitment and collaboration on projects. And the maternal wall was another one, so the widely held perception that once a woman has children, that's going to have an impact on the way that she performs her job.
Yes, and none of these things have anything to do with the quality of mind and application to you know, the science that the person is engaged in. Were you surprised by what you found?
Was I surprised? Well, I suppose I've been working in the field for about 15 years now. No, I would have had to have been blind over those 15 years to have not noticed that there was some gender inequality going on. The whole study arose because we sort of decided to set up this network, myself and a few colleagues, after spending about 10 years at conferences, sort of catching each other's eyes across the room and rolling our eyes and sort of noticing often, you know, women being talked over or the points that they've been made being ignored and then subsequently being picked up by male colleagues and being noticed. We decided that rather than roll our eyes for another 10 years, we'd sit up and do something about it, and hence we sort of set up the Women in Coastal Geoscience and Engineering Network, and then this study was our first project, if you like. So really that gave us an opportunity to turn the focus on our own disciplinary field. I had a feeling that the results would be a bit unpalatable, and so I wasn't really surprised by our findings, but I think a lot of people in the response that we've been getting, this article's had quite a big push back from the broader community, questioning whether or not inequality is an issue, which to my mind underscores the need for these sorts of studies that really bring a bit of evidence to those claims.
Well, it doesn't take too much to see the level of inequality from what you found. What has been the response from your colleagues, both male and female, to some of the figures that you found?
Overwhelmingly supportive. So I'm in the School of Earth and Environmental Sciences at the University of Wollongong, and I found that before I even really tuned into the social media yesterday, quite a few of them had already written to me to say, wow, great article, the need for this is really big. And there are 12 co-authors on our study, and they're all from all sorts of countries. It's quite an international study. And quite a few people yesterday were feeding back comments that they'd had from their local their local research collaborators and colleagues. And we've had quite a supportive network of people in our immediate vicinity.
We're speaking with Sarah Hamilton from the University of Wollongong about gender inequality in the coastal sciences and engineering. Sarah, I know that you've got quite an extensive plan to try and counter or overcome this entrenched culture of gender inequality. What are some of the ways that you're proposing to do this?
Yeah, so we didn't want our study just to be a doom and gloom. You know, this is the bad state of play, and we'll leave it at that. So we came up with basically 7 tips for things that you could do in terms of practical steps for addressing inequality. And some of them are things that are more sort of institutional governance type things that we can start to try and change the places where we work. And some of them are just personal things that we can change the way that we act and think and feel on a day-to-day basis. So advocate for more women in prestige roles. Promote high-achieving females, so that's countering that glass ceiling effect. Be aware of gender bias. I think a lot of people, sometimes it's only once you've experienced discrimination yourself that you're sort of turned on and tuned into to what's going on in terms of conversations and the sort of cultural dynamics that are being felt through in meetings and things. Speak up and call it out if you do see it in a meeting. It's worthwhile, and it makes a tangible difference to changing the culture of the school or the group that you're working in if you do call it out. Providing better support for returning to work after maternity leave. Juggling parenting and a full-time job is very difficult for a lot of people. So if institutions can look at how they allow employees to work in a flexible manner, then that's very useful. Redefining success, so really asking the much broader question, what does it mean to be a successful researcher? Are you somebody who writes a mountain of papers and pulls in research grants, or is success itself defined by the fact that you're able to have a family and continue to make insightful contributions to your research field? And lastly, we talked about encouraging women to enter the discipline at a young age. So a lot of these problems kind of stem back to school-age girls who put off the idea of entering science because they're socially and culturally deemed to be more male pursuits.
Given that lack of representation in management has been one of the factors that have, you know, allowed this culture to continue, what has been the reaction from management that you're aware of?
Well, I suppose the management I'm talking about specifically is the University of Wollongong, which is my workplace institution. And I have to say they've done really well. So they've signed up to the Athena Swan program, which looks at really being quite self-reflective around your employment structure and the profile of women in that. So a couple of years ago, we did a big study where the University of Wollongong's got several thousand employees, and we looked at, okay, well, what's the female representation at each of those different tiered levels? And it was quite clear that the scissor graph, which essentially is this plot that goes up for men as you go through the more senior ranks and down for women. And that was something that showed quite clearly in our data, which I was quite surprised by. I mean, I've had a couple of children whilst we've been at the University of Wollongong, and I found that their leave provisions have been really supportive, and I've been able to return to work in a really flexible manner. But the data in terms of promoting women through the institution showed quite clearly that there was a disparity between men and women. And I think that's something that is useful for people to think about and dwell on with respect to their own institution. Yes, we may well have a feeling that inequality isn't present in our day-to-day spheres, but like I said, it's only once you've sort of noticed it or experienced it that you tend to get tuned into it. And I would say that, you know, in my early 20s, I had a quite naive idea that inequality was not present in the area I work in, but now I'm a bit more tuned into it.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Sarah.
That's a pleasure.
And good luck with the initiative.
Great. Thanks very much.
That was Sarah Hamilton, Senior Lecturer in the School of Earth and Environmental Sciences at the University of Wollongong, talking there about an international study that her and some colleagues undertook into gender inequality in coastal sciences and engineering. You are listening to Breakfast here on Radio Adelaide.